I've only heard, Dwayne, that there is a Lazarus in John, okay? Oh, that's my goal, brother, okay? I've only heard about that. And you're all there in Lazarus. Wow, okay. You're the man, all right. Well, we're not going to make much headway. John chapter 8, we've got one verse this morning. Actually, one phrase, really one word. And this is only the first point of 3 points that will cover the next 3 weeks. So, we're not in a hurry, are we, Dwayne? Huh? Maybe about 4 or 5 years into heaven, we'll still be there, huh? Okay. John 8:31 is where we are this morning. John 8:31. We're going to look this morning at abiding in Christ. And next Sunday, and perhaps even the next Sunday. Abiding in Christ. We've been, what's this been, sweetheart? 25 plus years? And I shared with Joanna this week that this is probably the hardest teaching in all those years that I can remember. Okay? I don't know. Bless her heart, she said, I don't know what your problem is, okay? Anyway, we're going to get started, okay? John 8:31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Jesus is speaking to Jews. Okay, it says so. All right? He's speaking to those who are the descendants of Abraham. Covenant people. God established a covenant with Abraham. You can read about that if you want to in Genesis 12 and Genesis 15. Really a covenant of grace. And so he's speaking and has been speaking to these people, covenant people, Jews. And these folks are a little bit different than the massive group that would have been in and around the temple during those times. They're the ones that believe. So he's talking to these covenant people, Jews, who have believed. All that God had promised Abraham were for these people. When God called Abraham and entered into those covenants, the covenants that are described in 12 and 15 is one covenant, okay? When he called Abraham, all that he promised Abraham are for these people. Because he says over in Genesis 17:21, but I will establish my covenant with Isaac. Isaac, as you know, is Abraham's son, born late in his life. And he specifies that it will be the descendants of Isaac who are the recipients of the covenant that Abraham received from God. And it's even more special than that because it's only his son Jacob and his descendants. These are those people. That's who the Jews are here. A very special, select people with a very set of select promises. The covenant at Sinai was given to these people after they left the bondage of Egypt, as you'll recall. And it was at Sinai where God extended that covenant, if you want to think of it that way, and gave them the law. And so these are those people. These are the descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob who are the recipients now of the covenant, that covenant of grace. God went looking for Abraham. Abraham did nothing. Found him over in Ur of the Chaldees. And he called him. And he sent him. And he blessed him. And he gave him descendants. All by him. Abraham didn't have to do a thing. The scripture simply says that Abraham believed God, and God counted to him for righteousness. That's who these people are. So they're a select group. And these people of the covenant, of the promise, on this particular day or days, whatever it's going to be, in their midst, standing so that they can touch him, is the fulfillment of the covenant that God had spoken to Abraham. Now, I don't know about you folks, that left me limp about this time. Right there in front of them, they can reach out and touch him, is the fulfillment of the covenant that God had made with Abraham thousands of years before. He's the one that came to fulfill the law, the scripture says. That which they could only do temporarily, i.e. deal with their sin on a temporary basis through a blood sacrifice, the one standing in their midst right now fulfills that law. They never have to worry about blood sacrifices again, standing right there in front of them. And so he did permanently what they had to do ongoingly. And it says here that these Jews, these covenant people, believed in him. Over in verse 30, if you recall, it also says, as he was saying these things, many believed in him. It's a big deal. But there's a problem. And this is where I started locking up, if you want to call it that, this week. There's a problem. Jesus recognized the problem. These covenant Jews didn't recognize the problem. You see, here's the problem that Jesus knew. Some believed in him and abandoned everything for him. Lock, stock, and barrel. All they were, all they had, all they ever hoped to be, they abandoned to this person, Jesus Christ, who's God in the flesh. They did that. They believed in him. 11 of the 12 disciples believed in him in that way. And there were others, maybe about 120, if we take those who were gathered in the upper room just before Pentecost. There no doubt were others we don't know about. Eventually, there's going to be a bunch of others. 3,000 in one day. But right now, there aren't that many. Compared to the Jews, there aren't many of them that have believed. So those are one group. That's one group. There's another group. Another group some believed in him. But, and that conjunction's big time, but they held to their interpretation of the Messiah. They saw themselves as descendants of Abraham, with all the special privileges afforded to them because of that covenant. And they believed in him for that. For that. They didn't abandon to him. They still have a hold over here to who they are in Abraham. The other folks are over here, and they've let go of this, and they're holding on to only who they are in Christ. But there are two groups. We're going to look this morning at the necessity of abiding. Next week, we're going to look at the knowledge of abiding. And then the next week, we'll look at the reality, the new reality of abiding. So Jesus is talking to those who believed. But he understood their hearts. He knows your heart, by the way, as well. He knows my heart. There's something out here that is seen by us, by one another. We can't see the heart. He saw the heart of these folks. You see, Jesus knew that everyone has to be somewhere. Do you know that? Think about that. Everybody has to be somewhere. So the next time you invite somebody over and they come up with this excuse or whatever, it's not that they don't exist. They're somewhere. They're just not where you want them to be by your invitation. I have a lot of young folks here, college and high school students, all that kind of thing. Guys, and I understand it's not just guys now, okay, that girls ask guys out. Don't go there, okay? But anyway, guys, when you call that young lady, oh, that one that you saw in class or in the halls or whatever it was, and it was, oh, you know. And you, I don't know if you text her or you call her or what you do these days, but you say, would you like to, I don't even think you'd call it go out. You hang out now, don't you, okay? You ask her for a date. And she says, oh, I'd really like to, but. Bad conjunction again, right? Hey, she's got to be somewhere. If she wants to be with you, she'll be with you. Jesus knew that everybody has to be somewhere, physically, of course. But more than that, he knew spiritually everybody has to be somewhere. And everybody is somewhere spiritually. You can only be in one place. Capture that this morning. You can only be in one place spiritually. And there are two places to be. You cannot be in Christ and all He is and be living some self-styled, customized belief system crafted according to your personal desires. You can't do both. You can't do both. These Jews accepted the messianic claims. There was a Messiah coming. They believed that this was Him. But they persisted in interpreting not by His word, key phrase, but by their own ideas, their own desires of the kingdom. These descendants of Abraham, and they still hold on to that. They're holding on to who they were as Jews, not who they were in Christ. And that's all the difference in the world. Jesus deals with two concepts. One is believing, the other is abiding. Two concepts, believing and abiding. Now, believing is the key concept because it is prerequisite to abiding. In order to abide, you have to have believed. But, as we see here this morning and as we see across our land, and literally as we've seen through the centuries, we haven't seen it, but we know it existed, there are those who have believed but not abided. You see that? That's huge. If you abide, you have believed. But just because you believe doesn't mean that you abide. Now look what Jesus said. If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples. What He is giving us here is the definition, the criteria for being a true disciple. Do you see that? Believing and abiding, those are those who are the true disciples of Jesus. There are two types of believing then. They look the same to us. We can't tell any difference. We really can't. Because what we can only see is what we see and what we hear. Okay? Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Oh, okay. Tell me about how you became a Christian. I was in a revival. They sang a song. I went forward, filled out a card, joined the Baptist church. Ooh, you are a Christian. Right? That's all we got. That's all we got. Is what they say. Or maybe what they do. They teach a Sunday school class. They work down at the food pantry. Well, I don't know what they, okay. Well, they must be a Christian because they work down at the food pantry. If you do work down at the food pantry, God bless you, okay? But you hear what I'm saying? That's all we have. The two types of believing look the same to us. But they're not the same to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He knows the difference. That's what he's dealing with here. He's dealing with the difference of these two kinds of belief. This first kind of belief, there's a mental assent. It results in a customized belief system that exists to meet personal beliefs and positions. That's kind of a highbrow way of just saying it. But what they're doing, what's being said here is, they do something, okay? They do something, and then they customize their belief system. You know, and whatever that is, and it looks, it's customized. You folks into cars and fixing up cars, you customize cars. You take a car and make it your own. You put a bigger motor in it, 4-speed transmission, had an automatic. You customize it. You know what that is? That's what happens. People who would say they make a mental assent, okay. And then they customize a belief system. And when you hear somebody say, well, I believe, you know where you are. You are seeing the customized version of that person's belief system. You with me? Oh, folks, this is epidemic in our land today. This is epidemic. And this system is constantly revised. It's adjusted to maximize the personal benefits of believing. Things that, well, if I do this and I say it this way and I believe this, then maybe God will do that for me. That's kind of what it looks like. And I think we all maybe at some time have seen that, heard that, maybe even done that. Some of those who believed wanted the Messiah, a Savior, someone who would fulfill their status and their desires for supremacy because they were descendants of Abraham. And the Scripture just says that they believed in Him. That's one type of belief. There's another type of believing. There is believing that results in abiding. There is believing that results in abiding. Abiding in Christ. He says here specifically in His Word, in His teachings, in what He modeled for those who followed Him. Everything that He is, abiding in Him, His commands, His teachings, etc. And He does know what those are. And He has stated those. And they're not open to editing. Abiding, He said, if you abide in My Word, not your customized version of My Word, not what Nashville says My Word, not what the Pope, no, My Word. My Word. If you abide in My Word, continue, persist, live out your days in My Word, then you are truly My disciples. Abide includes perseverance. The greatest evidence that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus is that you continue in the faith. Said another way, the first kind of believing is kind of like Pony Express Christianity. Andy always gets nervous here because through the years he's heard Wheeler use some strange examples or analogies or whatever. Pony Express Christianity. You heard it here first. Okay? In 1861, because of the West was being settled, and it was just vast territories, the Old West, they had to get mail to people who lived out in those far reaches of the western United States, everything west of St. Joseph, Missouri, basically. So they started the Pony Express in 1861. Here's the way that worked, okay? You had these stations out there about 100 miles apart, all right? And a Pony Express rider would get on a horse. And he would ride as fast, I'm sorry ladies, it was a he. He would ride as fast as he could ride for 10 or 15 miles. He would dismount that horse, get a fresh horse, and ride that horse for 10 or 15 miles. And this went on, one rider, several horses, for 100 miles, 75 to 100 miles. Then a new rider would pick up the mail pouch, and he would head out, okay? The rider that got off the horse and stayed is waiting because there's another horse coming back this way that he's going to have to pick up and take it back to the 100 miles. You got the idea? We have a lot of folks who are practicing Pony Express Christianity. They ride one horse till it gets old or tired, and then they just hop on a new horse. And they just ride out their life changing horses. That's not believing. Believing and abiding is not like that. You with me? Abiding means to stay there. Abiding means to consistently, persistently stay there in His Word. Practicing, doing, mimicking, however you want to say it, doing what Jesus did. Over in John 15, Jesus is going to bring this same concept up again. In John 15:7, I think it is, He says, if you abide in Me, okay? Here He says, if you abide in My Word. If you abide in Me, He says in John 15, and My words abide in you. Same thing. Same thing. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, now listen, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now folks, you won't get over that one if you ever get it, and you may have it. That's called prayer. That's real prayer. That's New Testament prayer. I hope, I feel, I think, hey, maybe, my God, whatever. No. If you abide in My words and My word, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Woo! That's normal Christianity. John's going to repeat over in 1 John 5. If you ask anything according to My will, I hear it. And if I hear it, you have the petitions that you desire of Me. That's prayer. That's prayer. Is that the way you pray? We won't go there today, but is that your prayer life? Huh? There's some conditions. You say, well, I like that, man. Just pull out the card and get what you want. No. Okay? If you ask anything according to My will, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, then whatever you ask. Because whatever you ask is His will, and He performs His will. God's will is going to be done. Well, we must get on, okay? Here, though, Jesus says, abide in My word, My teachings, My examples, all that I say, all that I am. You see, there's a transformation that occurs at believing that results in abiding. If that doesn't happen, there is no salvation. These folks believed in, some of them believed in but they did not abide. They're still hanging on to Abraham and the covenant with him and the law and all that kind of stuff. If the transformation occurs by believing, there will be abiding, is the idea that Jesus is communicating to us. So that we're enmeshed in Him, immersed in Him, saturated by Him, we're abiding in Him. Not 3 out of 5 days a week, not every other Sunday, all the time, in everything, without exception. That's abiding. Let me package this for us. Believing in Jesus Christ is absolutely necessary. That is prerequisite. He said in verse 24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. You see that? That's big. Unless you believe that I am He, capital H, you will die in your sins. Dying in your sins means you have no part in His heaven, only in the punishment of hell. Abiding in Him verifies that you have believed. Now that's what took me most of the week. Abiding in Him verifies that you have believed and are not just seeking something for a personal benefit. It's not on again, off again, this thing of abiding. Some of you get tired of this, but some of you have never heard it before. But faith that fizzles before the finish had a fatal flaw from the first. There's no, I used to be a Christian. Okay? There's no, well, I backslid. Oh, what's that? Huh? Is that Hezekiah again? There's no Hezekiah in the Bible. Okay. Huh? Abiding is permanent. No on again, off again. Abiding is persevering in faith, continuing to believe, having the mind of Christ in all things, obedient to what He says without qualification. That's abiding. And Jesus said, if you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples. If you're a true disciple, it's because you abide in His Word. Remember, what Jesus says is what the Father gave Him, He said earlier. Who Jesus is, all He is, He is in you and through you as you abide in Him, because that's who you are. You think, but that's strange. You should have had something to eat for breakfast. That's strange. No, that's true. That's abiding. Do you see why it's not enough to just say, yeah, I believe? Believing without abiding is not believing in Him. Young people are like this, hot all the time. I understand that's out there. He's hot. She's hot. You know, nobody said about me, Andy. Nobody ever said, he's hot, you know. We're hoping. Yeah. Abiding is hot all the time. Now, I'm not referencing the common usage of that word, but the Laodicean use of that word over in Revelation 3. Jesus Christ is talking to the seven churches. They're in the first three chapters of Revelation. There's cold, that's lost. Okay? There's hot, that's abiding. And then there's one in the middle he called to that church or said to that church, lukewarm. That's repulsive to Christ. That's lost too. You see it? Abiding is hot all the time. No, I'm having a bad week. Or, you know, I've been, you know, whatever. No, abiding is hot all the time. Abiding in His Word presents Him as the Redeemer, the Savior, the Justifier, the Forgiver of sin. Everything that pleases the Father is what you are and what I am when we abide in Christ. You say, that's radical. It always has been. That's why they nailed Him to the cross. Okay? That's why all of the disciples of those 11 would be 12 when they had Matthias come in. They all died a martyr's death except John. He died of old age on Patmos. That's why the Christians in those early years of Christianity were sawn asunder, were nailed to the cross, some upside down. Some were burned on piles of brush because they were so radical. They didn't burn anybody who didn't abide. Because you see, a person who doesn't abide compromises. You see? You say, brother, you need to watch it. This is going to thin out the crowd. It always has. Why is it a narrow road? Few that find it. You see? This is what abiding is. Salvation is believing and abiding. Those are true disciples. These true disciples are learners and faithful followers. What we're doing this morning is describing the true disciple, not presenting a formula. Catch that one. Don't miss that. Because what we'll be tempted to do is say, okay, now what do I have to do? You've either done it or you haven't. It's not we're not talking about a formula today. It's not believing plus abiding, da-da, okay? We're talking believing, abiding in His Word. It's not a formula. It's the description of a true disciple. Abiding is necessary for relationship, i.e. to be a child of God. It is confirming. Abiding confirms that you are a child of God. It's the evidence of. It's the result of believing. Now this problem has been going on from this day that we're looking at in John 8:31. Down through the centuries to today. It's just always been. Some who believe and don't abide, and those who believe and do abide. Okay? There's always been this issue. Today I call it American Christianity. Go forward, get heaven, expect God to give you what you want. Make you successful, rich, well off. Make your family successful. Have a good job. Go on a mission trip every now and then. But don't be a fanatic. Whatever you do, don't be a fanatic. You see, because what you will do, if this is the description of your believing that I just read through there, your response is to compromise. When your goals and expectations regarding your belief system and are not met or challenged, you'll compromise. Disciples, true disciples who abide, never compromise. You know a piece of this action? this action is called truly my disciple. Folks, I think we're coming rapidly to that time when, I don't know if it'll get to the place it is in a lot of places in the world this morning, but we're coming to that time. There's some folks in northern Iraq, Kurdistan, and other places. They are practicing that this morning. They're presented. You have three choices. You can leave their house, their home, their job, all that. You can leave. You can convert to the Islamic Muslim religion, or you can die. That's coming. And has been here all along, though, as a matter of fact. You'll find it across a lot of Africa today. You'll find it virtually in every Muslim nation. And some of you are facing it in your life today, though they may not be threatening you with death or that, you are asked to compromise. Or maybe told to compromise. I bet there's some folks in here, don't raise your hand, who have lost jobs because of who you are in Christ. And some of you lost them and didn't know that you lost them for that reason. You don't abide to keep your job, okay? Because you do abide, you may lose your job. Or in the case of these precious folks there in the Middle East, their head, everything they own. Because a person who truly abides doesn't compromise. These are the folks that live there. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, okay? Some believed in Him so that they abided in Him and were abiding in Him, because He said, if you abide in My word, He's talking to people who have believed. He said, if you abide in My word, you're truly My disciples. That doesn't mean you do a certain number of things over here, okay? No, that's if you are abiding. If you are persistently and consistently and constantly abiding in My word, then you're truly My disciples. Let's pray. Father, we who live in this prosperous land, all that we want to eat, very good places to live, and on we could go. Or we're vulnerable, because when this is presented to those who are yet to believe, that's a tough call for them many times. And many have to give up who they are to abide in Christ. So many will just believe and create their own system, kind of like these Jews were doing, because they wanted the benefits of following the Messiah for sure. I mean, they're going to take out the Romans. But they didn't abide in Christ. They didn't abide in His word. And Jesus said, you're not my true disciples if you're not abiding. Lord, this is one of those things that only the Holy Spirit can reveal to us. I pray that would be the case this morning. That every one of us in this room would inventory our lives, look at our lives, and then ask you to look at our life with that question. Do I abide in Christ, in His Word, in all things, all the time? Holy Spirit, come close this morning. You, the revealer of truth, and I pray that you'll communicate to each of us what you, the Father, and the Son see. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Come this morning if we can help.